Merry Christmas, everybody. We're going to take a trip to Bethlehem. All right? Let's sing it together. I'm going to Bethlehem to see the one that the Father sent. Where my hope and salvation lay from heaven's throne for me he came.
Testimony. have seen your salvation laid before me, which you've prepared for all to see, your light, your glory here to set us free. Just like you promised, just like the prophet said, the hope of the world is here. Jesus, Jesus, the wait is done. Our King has come to us, Jesus.
So thank you so much for joining us in this beautiful time of worship. Would you join me in this prayer so we can conclude this time? Father, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you came into this earth, giving up of your heavenly throne so that you can live in this sinful, broken world, but eventually take the cross and take the penalty of our sin with us to that cross. So we thank you and we celebrate you in this Christmas season, our God with us. Lord, help us to remind ourselves of that as we near that holiday, as we near the Christmas time, Lord, and that you might be present in all of our celebrations. We ask this and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for being with us, and I especially like to welcome everyone, but especially our first-time guests or visitors. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just as a reminder, we'll be having our Christmas Eve service this coming Thursday, December 24th. You can catch that Christmas Eve service online and outdoors at Village Christian School. The service will be available at 4 p.m. online, where we get to hear a Christmas message and also hear a kingdom recap of 2020, as it is our last kingdom weekend of the year. Again, as a reminder, we will not have services on December 26th, and we look forward to seeing you on January 2nd for the first service of the new year. We encourage you to continue to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app and on our website by clicking on the Give tab. Again, thank you so much for your generosity. And now, let's continue in our worship as we hear a message from God's truth from our pastor, Tom, today.
Hey, welcome everybody to our visitors or guests. What a joy to have you here with us. Welcome. My name is Tom, and whether a friend invited you or you found us some other way, I am so glad that you are with us today. And to my CA family, a big welcome to you as well. And this weekend, I consider this kind of part one of a two-part Christmas celebration. So let me say to all of us, Merry Christmas. Part two of our celebration will happen on Christmas Eve, which I'm so very excited about. So you can just make a mental note now to join us online or outdoors on Christmas Eve at 4 p.m. Well, my wife, Allison, has been asking me these weeks, hey, babe, you've got to give me some ideas for you for Christmas this year. And I've got to admit, I've been stumped. But it's funny, as I've been stumped, I've thought about when I was a kid, and I knew exactly what was on my list when I was a kid. And when I ask our three kids for their ideas, they know exactly what's on their list. It's on the tip of their tongue. It seems like Christmas lists kind of shift over a person's life. When we are young, we make the list. When we're middle-aged, we fund the list. And when we're old-aged, no one can figure out what should be on the list, right? So let me ask you, what's on your list? I bet for many of us, at the top of our Christmas list this year is, I want 2020 to be over. But before that happens, I believe that all that has happened in 2020 gives us fresh ears and raw hearts to hear the truth and power of what God is putting on his list to give us this Christmas. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you for the goodness of your word, the goodness of your history, that you are God with us, that comes to us in Jesus Christ on Christmas. So now as we pause just to hear your word, I pray that you would speak to us by the power of your word and spirit, that you would remind us of the truth of who you are and the hope that we can have because of what Jesus has done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you are willing, God has put on his list for you that he wants to give you hope and joy this Christmas. Christmas can handle your 2020 and mine too. I'm not talking about the sanitized, romanticized, filterized version of 2020, the one we put up on Instagram or Christmas cards, as uplifting as those are. And I love those, by the way, but those are not the version of 2020 I'm talking about. I'm talking about your real 2020, my real 2020. I'm talking about the 2020 where my mom died and I watched the graveside funeral on FaceTime. The one where I had to have a major surgery. The one where my kids stare at screens for school. The ones where I've had loved ones lose jobs or have hours reduced. And I'm talking about your real 2022. Whatever that may held for you, whether it's reduced hours or lost jobs or lost loved ones, fear-provoking elections, racial upheaval, masks and COVID, the whole nine yards. Christmas can handle your real 2020. But if Christmas is going to handle your real 2020, then it's got to be the real Christmas story, not the Hallmark version of it. I'm talking about the one that actually happened in history without it being sanitized and romanticized and filterized. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus. In fact, let me read you a part of the story directly from the Bible in Luke chapter 2. Here it is. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Well, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, for it was just as the angel had told them. The first Christmas, the real Christmas, was not a clean Christmas. It was messy, hard, and real. Think about it. A newly betrothed couple is forced to register for a census in a town 90 miles away from where they live by the order of an oppressive and blasphemous political ruler who considers himself a god. The route from Nazareth to Bethlehem includes going up and over the mountains in the regions. In fact, it was about 90 miles away, and 90 miles is the distance from Pasadena to Big Bear. But remember, they're traveling on foot or by donkey. No cars, no highway patrol to help you out if you run into thieves, no Chick-fil-A stop at Campus Avenue, no Holiday Inns to rest. And if that wasn't enough, Mary is 9 months pregnant when they're forced to make this trip. Let's just say that it probably was not on Mary's Christmas list to want to spend more than a week on a donkey when she's 9 months pregnant because of a pagan ruler's census decree. Well, when they finally get there, there's nowhere to stay. The best that they are offered is a stable. This is the world of Mary and Joseph. It was a difficult and dangerous place. You know, we're tempted to clean it up a bit, to romanticize it a bit, to filterize it a bit, but that was not their reality. For example, one of the ways that I think that we tend to do this is through some of the songs we sing. Consider, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Silent Night. Maybe you've heard it. It goes like this. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. all is bright. Now, I love that song, but I kind of chuckle inside every time I sing it because I have been in the room for a few live births. And let's just say that there is nothing silent or calm about that process. There is a lot of screaming. And remember, there were no epidurals in Mary's day. But no one writes a Christmas song with these lyrics. Screaming night, holy night. Joseph is freaking out because he doesn't know how to help Mary. The star is bright, right? Those aren't the lyrics we sing. But that's closer to the reality of the first Christmas. And after Jesus is born, the story continues in even darker ways, where all the boys in and around Bethlehem were slaughtered by the command of the local king, Herod, in his attempt to ensure that Jesus is killed. In other words, it is an act of state-sponsored terrorism that makes Mary and Joseph flee with Jesus to Egypt, a later trip they take that would have required hundreds and hundreds of additional miles. Listen, if you want God to give you hope and joy this Christmas, then the first thing we need to see about the Christmas story is this. It happens in a messy and hard and evil reality. Don't clean it up. Why not? Here's why. Because clean stories don't offer hope for messy lives. The real Christmas story, the unfiltered one, can handle your unfiltered 2020. And because of what God did on that first messy Christmas, you can have hope and joy this messy Christmas too. If you want hope and joy this Christmas, don't clean up the very first Christmas. See it as it was, so that you can see what God did right in the middle of that messy time. The second thing that I'd say to you is that if you want God to give you hope and joy this Christmas, don't shrink it down. Christmas is a big and powerful and mysterious God with us, Son of God in flesh, true history, but we can be tempted to want to shrink it down. All of us as people, we have this tendency to want to just shrink life in general down so that we can kind of get a handle on it. We can calculate it and count it and control it. And I can understand that. I get that because when I do that, I usually do that. I shrink it down as a way to make myself feel safe and secure. But the bad news is that you and I are not safe and secure because of our ability to control all of life. In fact, if any year has taught us that, 2020 has taught us the limits of our own control. But the good news is this, that I and you can indeed be safe and secure, not because of what we do, but because of what God has done at Christmas. But Christmas is not under our control. No human made Christmas happen. Yes, Mary participated and Joseph participated and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels participated, but none of them made Christmas happen. Christmas is about what God has done. And its fulfillment in history is of God doing exactly what he said he would do, how he said he would do it, where he said he would do it, as well, thousands of years he said that before it occurred. God reveals to us at Christmas the mystery of his control in a way that we cannot fathom. For example, the prophet Messiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and that's the exact location where indeed Jesus was born, as we just read about from Luke. And it's not just that one prophecy or that one prophet. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Genesis told us that he would be born of the tribe of Judah. Samuel told us that he would be born in the ancestral line of King David. Jeremiah said that he would be born among sorrow in the world. Hosea told us that he would need to flee to Egypt. And the list of the prophecies go on. In fact, there are over 48 major prophecies made by God concerning the historical facts of the birth and life of the Messiah. You see, Jesus, he wasn't just born. He was born just as God said he would be born. In other words, just because history is not under my control doesn't mean it's out of control. In fact, one statistician calculated the odds that all of these prophecies were fulfilled by just by chance. And the number that they calculated was a number with a one with 484 zeros after it. That number is so big that the English language doesn't even have a name for it. And just to give you some scale of the size and scope of that number, the number of guesstimated atoms in the known universe is guessed to be only about the number one with 80 zeros after it. You see, Christmas is a big, powerful, almost incomprehensible story. There's a great mystery in Christmas. The God who knows all time and history chose to send his son to enter into history as a baby born in the manger. And the prophets and the prophecies show us that this is a big story. It's a powerful story. But one of the ways that we can be tempted to shrink it down is when we think something like this, well, but Tom, that happened so long ago. I mean, what does it really have to do with me now in 2020? But remember what the angel said. The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. You see, this good news of great joy is for everyone, for all who will hear and respond that the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born to us. So if you want hope and joy this Christmas, don't shrink it down. Christmas is a message for everyone. Not just those people at that time. It's a message for all people at all times, including us people in this time. It's not just for the people that you like. It's also for the people that you hate. It's not just for one nation or one tribe or one tongue. It's good news for people from every nation, from every tribe, and every tongue. Don't shrink it down, or you'll end up shrinking back thinking, you know, this isn't meant for me, not after the year that I've been through. Or you'll think, this isn't really meant for them, not after what that person said to me, or they did to me, or they didn't do, or they should have done. You see, we can be tempted to shrink it down by thinking, well, I know the angel said great joy, but great joy is going to have to wait for Christmas 2021 because 2020 has been kind of rough. And I know, I feel your pain. In fact, some of you, I've walked with you in your pain, and I have my own pain from this year as well. And yet, may we remember the people who first heard this message on the first Christmas weren't necessarily coasting along in all of their circumstances either. The angel comes with a message, and it's not, I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. Hopefully next year won't be as bad. No, that's not the message. It's a message of hope, all right, but hope has a name, and his name is Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord is born. And that brings us to one other big way we can be tempted to shrink down the Christmas story, which is by thinking that our sin really isn't that big of a deal. We hear the angel say Savior and we think, Savior? I mean, I know I'm not perfect, but do I really need a Savior? Well, Romans 3 from the Bible makes it clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that we are separated from God. Our sin separates us from his presence and his good plan for us to live forever in right relationship with him as well as right relationships with one another. But that same passage goes on to say that we can be, quote, justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective, here it is, effective through faith, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Redemption is possible because of Jesus, and Jesus is present because of Christmas. And so now, good news is truly available of great joy for everyone who, when they hear this good news, will choose to place their faith in Jesus Christ. I love how the author, Frederick Buechner, says it. He says it this way: Christmas means, quote, "the madness and the lostness we see all around us and within us are not the last truth about the world, but only the next to last truth for everyone who places their faith in Jesus." Christmas can handle your 2020, the real, hard, messy, challenging 2020. How do we know that? Because the first Christmas happened with real, hard, messy challenges too. And yet, Jesus entered in. He can handle it. For us and for our salvation, he came. The problem is we try to clean it up and shrink down Christmas. We no longer expect that God has the power to be at work in our complicated and messy lives now when we do that. Clean stories don't hold hope for messy people, and small stories don't hold power for big needs. So bring your big messes, and I'll bring mine too. Bring your big needs, and I'll bring mine too with you to Jesus this Christmas. And as you do, thank God that Christmas isn't a clean story and it's not a small story. It happened in dangerous and difficult times. And that's good news for you and me in our own dangerous and difficult year, because it shows that at the worst of times, God can birth the best of things, the Savior, the Messiah. God doesn't need a great year to do a great work in your life. The angel told the shepherds, "You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Jesus came wrapped in strips of cloth, but also wrapped in prophecy, in history, in mystery, in reality. He really came just as he was prophesied because of his great love for you and for me. In a year of social distancing, the good news of Christmas is that Jesus isn't distant. Christmas shows us that Jesus is real enough to touch, loving enough to come, and strong enough to save. Not just in the good years, but in every year, and especially this year. So then, as you consider all that God has done in the coming of Jesus, how he came, where he came, why he came, don't clean up the story and don't shrink it down. Let it be messy and let it be big. Why? Because then faith will begin to arise when you see that the same Jesus who entered into that mess on that Christmas can come to meet you in your mess on this Christmas. For Christmas can handle your 2020 and mine too, because Jesus has come to be with us, and not just be with us, but to redeem us. Will you pray with me as we create a moment to let you connect with God? Some of you, as you just kind of create a holy moment, you need to hear, don't clean it up. Where have you experienced evil, hardship, pain, and grief? Because Jesus came, he knows what it's like. He's the Son of God who can relate to our pain and disappointments and grief. He lived on this earth too. Because of Christmas, Jesus gets you. Where do you need to hear that whatever you're facing, because of Christmas, you're not facing it alone? Because of Christmas, God is with us. Others of you, I want to encourage you, don't shrink it down. You might be thinking, is there really hope for a person like me? A sinner like me, after all I've done, after all I've said? Others of you, you might feel like life feels out of control. And you need to just hear God say, listen, just because it's out of your control doesn't mean it's out of my control. Maybe you need to pray right now and say, God, can you give me the joy and hope of knowing that you're in control? Others of you, you need to hear the angel's message that this is good news of great joy for everyone. And it's for you too. No matter where you have been, no matter what you have done, there is hope for you this Christmas because hope has a name and his name is Jesus. Jesus has come so that each of us would decide, respond to come to him by faith. There is only one name under heaven by which we can be saved, Jesus Christ. In fact, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it, which we heard earlier, but let me give it to you again. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Let me ask you, do you believe in Jesus? I want to invite you to make that decision. If you've never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you need to make the decision to say yes to him again, you can pray and just say like this, Jesus, thank you for being born in the manger and then dying on the cross because of God's grace to pay the penalty for my sin. And I ask that you forgive me of my sin. Give me a new heart. One that wants to know and follow you all the days of my life. Make me new. Forgive me of my sins. And make me new from the inside out by the power of your word and Christ's Holy Spirit. Save me. And now lead me as my master, teaching me to know and do your will in every area of my life. And as I say yes to this good news, give me a spirit of great joy for what you have done. And because I know that I am never alone now, no matter what comes my way, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you just said yes to Jesus, welcome, 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 welcome to the family of God. I celebrate that with you. And I know my Christian Assembly Church family does too. And so I want to just say welcome, welcome, welcome. We want you to text in or email in, the information's there on the screen, to just let us know you've made that decision so that we can follow up with you. Will you please do that now? As in, grab your phone and do it right now, because I don't want to let this moment pass without you letting us know that you've made that decision so we can follow up with you. Text that number that you see on the screen and we will follow up. Or if you prefer email, you can do email as well. And for all of us, don't forget to invite a friend and plan to be with us for our Christmas Eve services. I'm so excited about the life-giving message I'll be sharing from God's Word as kind of part two of this little series as we come to Christmas Eve. And this week and always, may we each live with the joy of this news. Don't be afraid, the angel said. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Well, as we move to a close, we have the special opportunity to hear from a singer-songwriter named Zoe Brush and a song that she's going to be singing for us from our own Christian Assembly, family. Zoe's part of that. And the title of the song is A Much More Silent Night. And I want you to just listen to the words and let God meet you as she sings these words. Merry Christmas, everyone.
This year has been harder than I thought it would be, and some days I'm so tired from the fight. Christmas will soon be here, but this holiday will be a much more silent night. Maybe I shouldn't celebrate with all the loss I feel, but I remember what we gather for. Perhaps these trials reveal why the Prince of Peace was born. There was a star so brilliant bright that it led them to the child. They came from afar, they gave their gifts to a Savior tender and mild. On that wondrous silent night. Ooh. So we should take this time to decorate and sing each Christmas song. Even if traditions change, we could make new ones just as strong. Christmas might feel different now, maybe even sad, but let's look to each other to see that star and be grateful for what we have. 'Cause there is a star. Tender and mild.
thank you again for being with us for our online services. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during the service, or simply would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or text the word decision to the number 52855. And now let me close us with this benediction. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. See you on Christmas Eve, everyone.